Morning, church. Happy Sunday. If we have not met yet, hi. My name is Ashley, and I'm so glad that all of you guys are here today. A little bit about me so we can get on friend level. I am a recent grad from TWU and a major in biblical studies. I get to hang out with the most amazing kids every single day at the elementary school that I work at. And I love a good silly joke, so if any of you guys have a joke you want to tell me after, let me know. Like Chad said, I've been at Emmaus Road for almost 2 years now, and it has been the biggest blessing ever, and I am so grateful for this opportunity to share with you all today. As we had mentioned during the lighting of our candles, today is the third week of Advent. And as a refresher, Advent, which means coming, is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas where we intentionally prepare our hearts with longing and anticipation for His coming on Christmas Day. Today, we light the candle of joy, where we are invited to anticipate His coming with deep joy. So as we prepare our hearts to receive His word, I invite you now to take a brief moment of silence. May you be still and ask the Lord to open your heart to all that He may want to reveal to you today. So, dear Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that we can gather here today. I just pray over every heart that is here or the people that weren't able to make it today that you reveal your Advent, your coming in a fresh way this Advent season. May your grace, your love, and your redemption and joy and hope just be made known in their lives. In your name we pray, amen. So, redemption, a big and beautiful word. A word almost too deep to give language to it. Scholar Tim Mackey from the Bible Project agrees when he writes, quote, "At its core, biblical redemption is about reclaiming what has been lost." But that description only scratches the surface. Redemption can be understood with these few statements: making beauty from the broken, restoring what was damaged. It is the Lord our God releasing our chains to make us free in, by, and for His glory. Tim Mackey goes on to say that, quote, "Because of Jesus' life, a person is reclaimed by God into freedom in a kind of life that's beyond the power of death." So I like this idea of being reclaimed by God. We were once lost and broken, but because of His blood, we have been brought back. The lost found, the redeemed restored. So with joy and redemption, as we long for Christ being our backdrop, I'm going to read our passage today from Isaiah chapter 35. As we read this, I invite you to get into a posture of receiving and allow the Lord to wash these promises over you. So a reading from Isaiah 35. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. That was boomy. So this piece of writing comes from what we call prophetic literature. But what exactly does this mean? A prophet was someone that was called by God to listen to him on behalf of their community. Prophecy found in the Old Testament was not merely just a prediction, but it was a message of Yahweh's will in hopes to elicit a response of faithfulness and dependence on God from those who hear the words. As we look at the prophetic literature found in the Old Testament and understand it today, prophecy has this unique ability to be reinterpreted and reused from one generation to the next as God unveils himself in a new way, or reveals how Jesus himself is the fulfillment of a text that was once spoken for those in exile. And Isaiah 35 is just that. It is now seen as prophetic literature that Christ has fulfilled and continues to fulfill. So Isaiah 35 is in drastic contrast to the previous chapter. Isaiah 34 discusses the radical judgment of those who have turned away from him. And in this case, those from Edom, the unrighteous. One commentary writes that while, quote, chapter 34 speaks of the far-reaching effects of the day of vengeance when God pours out his judgment on all those who rebel against his righteous standard, the structure of chapter 35 is a song of praise, a bright beacon of hope and joy for those who turn to God and are spared this judgment. What is interesting here is about how Isaiah 34 works with 35, is that it is judgment and then restoration, vengeance and then redemption, deserts and then flowing streams. This contrast really reveals to us how, as hard as it may be, we cannot have redemption without the brokenness. We cannot have redemption without the Lord's judgment. How would we even understand it as redemption without it first being shattered? You see, the act of and the definition of redemption does not even work without there first being something unbearable. Take the cross as an example. On that Friday 2,000 years ago, the cross was something so ugly, so awful, and so painful. But a few days later, on that glorious Sunday, the Lord redeemed it, and beauty came out of the pain of the cross. By no means was this an easy time for those in exile, but this passage offers them hope as they look towards the way of holiness, keeping their eyes fixed on him, on the pilgrimage, where the redeemed will walk and sorrow will be no more. Though this passage talks about his judgment and restoration in their present day, it has been fulfilled by Christ's incarnation and the promise of Christ coming once again for the new heavens and the new earth to inbreak our present reality. So in light of all of this, I invite you to consider what it looks like to actively wait with hope of his past coming, the incarnation, his future coming, the new creation, and his present coming, how he draws near to us today. So Isaiah 35 invites us into this joyful hope of redemption in Jesus Christ. I need to have like a little like water table here or something. So the incarnation was one of the most profound, if not the most profound act of God to date. It was the moment where love incarnate took upon our frame to reach us, to meet us, and do what only he could do to give us the gift of grace and eternal life with him. But it was also the most profoundly ordinary act. He was a human. The most humble act, the most mind-boggling act, and the one where Jesus stepped down to lift us up. In his work on the incarnation, St. Athanasius writes, "For we were the purpose of his embodiment. And for our salvation, he so loved human beings as to come to be and appear in a human body." We are the purpose. I love that. He came for me, for you, for the redemption and the saving of the world. As we look at how the redemption of Isaiah 35 is seen in his past coming, we can look back to our gospel reading from today. So reading from Matthew 11, and I'm just going to do verses 2-6. "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" The word of the Lord. So John is in prison, and he is questioning if Jesus is truly the Messiah. I want to just pause here for a moment and allow us to just notice that doubt in John. Jesus had already been going about his healing and his ministry, proclaiming the good news. And here's John. John the Baptist, coming before Christ in honesty and sharing his doubts before the Lord. And all of this talk about hope, waiting, and redemption can be so exciting for some, but it also might be so tiring and maybe even discouraging for others. Maybe you have been in a situation for years, praying for the Lord to work in it, but you are still waiting. Maybe you feel like the word redemption doesn't even hold any truth, but just sounds like clanging cymbals and gongs. Maybe you doubt that the Lord would even want to do good things in your life. But beloved, take heart, for Christ our Lord welcomes these doubts and will be with you as you figure them out with him. Even John the Baptist doubted Jesus face to face, and so can you. But be ready for him to profoundly rock your world and reveal to you the truths about his character and his promises, making those doubts and anxious hearts cease, just as Isaiah reveals to us. As John's disciples bring forward a question to Jesus on behalf of him, asking Jesus if he truly is the Christ, Jesus reassures John with the comforting words from Isaiah. Jesus says, "The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Sound awfully familiar? Yep, mostly are from Isaiah 35 and other parts from 29 and 61. So put yourself in John's shoes for a minute. He had been waiting so long for the coming Messiah. Of course he would doubt if Jesus was actually the Christ. It was almost too good to be true. What he was experiencing was fulfillment of long ago prophecies of hope and joy and redemption. One commentator writes on Isaiah 35:5-6, and these things were distinctly fulfilled during the advent of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When each of these statements found fulfillment, for in his divine and rejuvenating power, he healed every sickness and infirmity. He healed not only the sufferings of their bodies with the word of his teaching, but also their souls. This is what John was seeing in this advent of Christ. Through his incarnation, these words are fulfilled. And through his incarnation, we can still see this today as he has chosen to indwell in us by his Holy Spirit. So as we move along, Isaiah 35 is seeping with links towards Jesus' advent in the future, the new creation. So what is the new creation? It is all things restored, and I mean all things. It is the new heavens and the new earth. It is a garden city, a second Eden, with no more sorrow, no more harm, never-ending peace, where all is put right, and eternity is found in all places and times. The Isaiah text points towards a lot of themes that we actually find in the promises of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where the writer John speaks of this place, the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, all of which are deep and profound images of hope when our world is completely redeemed and restored. These passages only give us a glimpse into these promises in true fulfillment in his future advent. On the screen in a second, you will see various verses from Isaiah 35 and Revelation 21 and 22. They will kind of go back and forth a bit. To try and illustrate how closely linked these passages are from the prophets and then the very last book of the Bible, and how Isaiah 35 is truly a foreshadowing to all things restored, I've blended parts of those three chapters to read as one. What I will do now is read from the blend of promises, and you can see where each of these promises come from on the screen. What I want you to notice is this, how Isaiah 35 foreshadows the restoration and redemption that Revelation 21 and 22 fulfill through promise to us. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. On either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will be a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. To the thirsty, he will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. He will strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. The Lord says, behold, I am making all things new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So isn't that just crazy and beautiful? I bet it would be pretty hard to distinguish what words came from where if I hadn't put them on the screen. Isaiah 35 is not only a passage filled with this messianic hope, but a passage filled with hope that all things will one day be made right. That all things one day will be redeemed and restored. So N.T. Wright gave a sermon in 2006 at Durham Cathedral as a rededication for the Order of the Hospital of St. John, which is an order that focuses on the work of healing. As he encourages this group of people in their work, he really gets at this new creation stuff, but also leads us into the present. This is a little bit of a longer quote, but it's awesome. So he says, "We are here because we are committed to the pilgrim way, the way that leads to God's new Jerusalem, and because we know that on that road there is healing. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. New creation has begun in Jesus." There's a pilgrim highway leading all the way from the cross and the empty tomb right through to God's new creation. And we are called to walk that pilgrim way, the holy way, the way of healing and hope. The work of healing is one of the main signposts on the way to God's new creation. More than simply a signpost, actually, it is a little bit of new creation coming forward to meet us in the present. Here we can even understand the word healing as redemption or restoration. A signpost on the way to God's new creation, his future advent. So with that is a perfect marker for us to move towards Christ coming in the present. And seeing him through Isaiah 35, as we hope for redemption and redemption in our own lives. So whenever I talk to my friends about what the Lord has done in my life, I always tell them that I feel like, I feel like the title for the chapter of the past 6 years would be called Redeemed. As we look towards hope in Christ coming in the present, I want to take a few moments to just share a few pieces of the Lord's work in my own life and my story of redemption, where I can say that I have seen the unthinkable promises of Isaiah 35 lived out. And when I say unthinkable, I mean how crazy is it to see those who are unable to walk leap with joy. My hope is that this testimony brings you hope and joy in his promises, knowing that what I preach on is not just research and facts, but something that I have deeply wrestled with and lived through the past number of years. When I freshly graduated high school, I left my family and flew off to a gap year program. My mom was terrified that her 17-year-old baby was leaving to a random place that she had no idea what I was doing. What was initially supposed to just be a 3-month internship turned into a year-long journey of serving and being on staff. The Lord did do amazing works there, things that led me into my calling to pursue teaching and biblical studies. But there was another side to the coin. I experienced the deep brokenness of his people through spiritual abuse, resulting in a distrust of leaders and God. In September of 2020, I removed myself from the organization and began a journey of healing from trauma and trying to understand who God actually is. By the Lord's grace, I am still a believer today. Thank you to the mentors that he put in my life, Nate being one of them who is here at church today. For the next few years, I did not like going to church. I did not like going to chapel at Trinity Western. I did not like hearing someone preach if I did not personally know them. What had happened to me during my gap year left me to be wounded, bitter, anxious, and a cynical person in the church. During my entire time at TWU, I felt like my entire identity was the girl with church hurt, and I just put that label on myself. This weight was heavy, but I did not stop pursuing the Lord in it. I was angry, very angry. I was wrestling. I was persistent. And he continued to pursue me. Most of my journal entries started with, "Oh Lord, how long? Take this wrestling away from me. Heal me to love your bride." After listening to the Lord's prompting to take up a position in TWU's women's ministry and resign from an old job at my old church, I finally had this opportunity to church hop. I was excited for this opportunity, mostly to just see how others express their worship. One of my best friends, Emma, attends St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Abbotsford. I attended in fall of 2023 and wept after because I was blown away by how beautiful the tradition and liturgy was. This was the beginning of the end, essentially. Fast forward to Lent 2024, and I decided to go back to a bunch of churches that reminded me of the places that had previously wounded me. Ah, it was so hard. I felt like I was reliving parts of my trauma week after week. But I knew that I would be checking out Emmaus Road on Maundy Thursday after my Lenten journey. And so I did. I ate dinner at a table with Adam Wochuk, Gray, and I think some of the Maynard girls popped in and out. By the time we went into Eucharist, Sarah Maynard already knew my name and presented the elements to me by saying, "Ashley, his body broken for you." I came back and told my own old roommate that this is my church. And that was huge for me at that time because I didn't make those decisions quick. Then after the Maundy Thursday service during Holy Week, I went the next day to Good Friday and the next day to Holy Saturday. And by Easter Sunday, Chad had asked me to read a psalm for the service. I had never felt so free in my entire life in a corporate worship gathering. And that's thanks to all of you that attend, the thoughtful way that we worship, the leadership, the sensitivity to Scripture and His Spirit, and the deep roots of tradition that make this place welcoming and a solid foundation. I knew it was a place I could trust. So fast forward once more to November 2024, and we had our Restore conference. I was trying to gather up what I needed restoration in, and I decided that I would continue to use what I thought had previously defined me. I asked the Lord for healing in my church hurt. And oh boy, was I awoken to the reality of His love and healing. I laughed to myself as I felt the response of that prayer. "Ashley, why are you asking me to restore your church hurt when I have already restored that in you?" I then got confirmed the following February, and for me that was profound as I was reuniting my love to the bride of Christ through the way that He healed it, at Emmaus and through the Anglican way. I can confidently say and stand here today that the Lord has fully healed my church hurt, and I'm absolutely in love with the bride of Christ once again in all of its beauty and brokenness. Just like in the poetic fashion in Isaiah, I can say that for me, those wounded by His bride will weep with joy for His bride. The bitter will rejoice with open arms. The one who is in chains is set free. And the one who thought all was lost will now have everything and more in Christ. So if there's anything that I want you to take from my story of Christ's advent in the present is this. His heart is for you. He is working for you. He is healing you, even if it's not recognizable at first, like my story. He will redeem, even if not in our present time, but in eternity, all will be redeemed. He is faithful and true to his promises. Take heart, have hope that he is coming and will restore. So like my story, your road to redemption might be a long pilgrimage. It might be a long, slow pilgrimage towards the way of holiness after that day of judgment. And Isaiah 35 proclaims, "And waiting for the Lord to heal you or those around you might be the hardest thing that you have to do on this side of heaven." In reality, the pilgrimage towards the way of holiness might be consistent lament at his feet. It might be groans and aches and tears while reading his word. And it might look like hope in breaking in ways that you didn't expect, even if that hope is simply just adding, "But God, I trust in you," after a journal entry full of anguish. And all of that is okay before God, for that is what the righteous do. So, beloved, take heart. The pilgrimage is worth it. The pressing through is worth it as it deepens our trust and our dependence on the Lord, refining us in the waiting, in the pursuing, and in the constant calling upon him. He is working in the present, I promise you. And what is our response to all of this? Well, we can respond with joy. We can respond with praise, because even if the only reason to praise is simply because he is worthy, we can still bring him praise. "Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." So our response to his redemption is this unexplainable joy. Joy that goes way beyond emotion, but rests in his eternal goodness. The joy that causes the lame to leap, the mute to sing, for the redeemed will walk. And they, what I like how Isaiah says, it's always like they will. They will walk in the way of holiness, where nothing unclean will bother it. They will sing with everlasting joy and gladness. And there will be no more sorrow and sighing. There is joy in his advent. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will save you. For the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And Isaiah 35 invites us into this joyful hope of redemption in Christ Jesus. So as we close now and come to the table soon, I want to invite you to come to the table with joyful hope to receive his redemption. As Jesus institutes the sacrament of the Eucharist, he does so making the new covenant during a Passover meal. And he actually uses the third cup of wine out of a series of four in the Passover meal. So this third cup traditionally is represented as the cup of blessing, or also known as the cup of redemption. So in your weariness, your sorrow, your excitement, your celebration, know that Christ will meet you at his table. Come with what you have, leave it at his feet, and watch him do wonders. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So Jesus, we just thank you for, your redemption and your active working in our lives. We thank you that you are a God of pursuit. Even if it seems slow to us, you know exactly what you're doing in our hearts and around us. I just pray for those who are longing for redemption, may you just reveal to them that you are near and you are working. And I just praise you for the people that have experienced redemption, Lord. So may you come to us and may we draw near to you as we enter into confession and bring those things to your feet and receive the cup of blessing, the cup of redemption at your table. In your name, pray, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Your hands feel weak today. Your knees a bit feeble. Say to those who have an anxious heart, hear this morning, friends. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and he will save you. My hope is that as Ashley gave us such a gift of her story, that it was stirring stories in this room. That you too are remembering your story in the ways that you've experienced redemption. And for any of you this morning who would say, I'm in deep need of redemption today, that God would come and that he would redeem my life, redeem my story. As we take a moment before we continue with our service to respond to those things. So at a heart level, to just...